Stop crying.
Stop with the tears.
Don't cry.
Pick yourself up.
Stop with the emotion.
Don't be a pussy.
No one might disrespect you.
Be cool and be kind of a dick.
Always keep your mind.
Nobody likes a tattletale.
Bros come before hoes.
Don't let your woman run your life.
You a bitch.
What a fag. Get laid. Do something.
Be a man.
Be a man.
Grow some balls.
There is no appreciation for women intellectuals. It's all about the body, not about the brain.
You all saw the photo from the weekend of Hillary looking so haggard and what, looking like 92 years old. Breast implants. Did you have them or not?
If you...
Hi, welcome to the Police With Us podcast, Deconstructing Gender. My name's Cash. I use him, his pronouns.
Hey, my name's Megumi. I use she, her pronouns.
Hi, I'm Ashley. I go by she, her.
Over the semester, we've been discussing why pronouns are important to trans people, sex versus gender, decolonization of transgender, the medicalization of trans identity, and these are just a few of the topics that we've covered over the semester, but our main focus is gender policing and our experiences with it. We hope that this podcast will help open the perspective of the current agenda that ignores and continues to harm and spread violence to transgender folks and the like. So, when have you experienced gender policing?
Cash, what do you mean?
What I mean is, I would define gender policing as imposing gendered expectations and the standards on a person for how to behave, look, identify, for the purposes of reinforcing the gender binary.
Oh, yeah. I know what, like, gender policing kind of feels like, I think. The topic of gender policing has come up a lot lately in my last two semesters. And in our current trans class, the topic came up. And I was really thinking about how we're all policed in some way into this, like, gender binary. So it got me thinking about my own experiences feeling gender policed as a little girl. My parents never forced these, like, stereotypical gender roles on me that I can recall. A little about me, I grew up in Tokyo, Japan, where I attended a public and private school. And academics was super encouraged and, like, very, very valued. The students were not allowed to come to school with a changed or altered appearance until they attended college.
Wait, what do you mean that you had to alter your appearance?
So, like, that means, like, you can't wear makeup, you can't have piercings, no jewelry, you can't dye your hair. Yeah, you can't do anything like that.
Okay, makes sense.
Yeah, so I remember feeling really pressured and stressed out when I moved to the United States at 8 years old, and I started attending public school in the Bay Area. It first started with, like, my peers, and they would ask me, like, why didn't I have my ears pierced? And I thought, well, why don't I? And then I went and got my ears pierced. And then they said, well, then I got criticized for having hair on my legs. And I went and took my dad's razor and shaved all the hair off my legs because they said that girls don't have hair on their legs. And then I felt really pressured to start wearing makeup and to also, like, kiss boys. And this was all in elementary school. So as a cis woman, I felt like this enormous pressure to conform to these super, like, hyper feminine Barbie like beauty ideals promoted by my peers, media, like teen magazines, and by men.
So wait, Megumi, do you feel more pressured by your friends or do you feel more pressured by the society around you?
I would definitely say more my peers, but media definitely has some impact. What do you guys think?
Well, I can also say I was gender policed by my peers, especially coming from a traditional Mexican household. And since I was first generation, my parents were very hard on me, my brother and sister, making sure we fit in and still not forgetting our tradition. One thing I remember that started the gender policing growing up was when my grandma would always wake me up and tell me, you have to start cleaning. And it's like 6 o'clock in the morning. And I would notice all the boys in the house would still be asleep and not helping us clean. And I asked my grandma one day. I was like, Grandma, why don't we wake up the boys and help us clean? And she's like, because girls clean, cook, boys do the dirty work outside. Us as women need to support them and make sure they have everything. And growing up, I was envying my brother because I would wake up earlier than he did. That was just the start of gender policing, though.
Yeah, girl. It's super stereotypical to tell a woman to cook, clean, and fuck, right?
Yeah, Megumi, that sounds nice. Hey, Ash, can I be part of your family?
No, Cash, you can't. I hated waking up at 6 o'clock in the morning. Well, anyways, continuing to my example of being gender policed, I was in elementary school. I was a hairy child. I wore shorts one day, and all the boys looked at my legs and were like, girls need to shave. Boys are the ones that don't. I realized that I need to start changing the way I look, fit in with the stereotype of what they call a girl. I started focusing on my appearance more and more until I reached high school and I didn't really care about going to school dressed up.
So, Ash, how did the other girls treat you in high school?
Well, like, the other girls would just, like, give me dirty looks because I didn't look as hyper feminine as they did, because I honestly just cared about color guard and I did not care about my appearance whatsoever. Dressing up and all that stuff was nothing. I would just wear a t-shirt and pants mostly for school. I only put mascara on, and I think that was like the main thing why most girls didn't like me, because I didn't really dress up as much.
It seems that the harms of gender policing and traditional masculinity, I think, touches everybody, and not everyone is ready to accept this finding. When Ash spoke about her family, it seems the older woman embraced this expectation of how to care for men, but we can't hope to achieve equality if only one gender is doing the work. I think the way we raise and treat boys creates many of the toxic results seen today, because much of what happens to males happens in boyhood, and that boyhood has not been created by boys or for boys. Instead, the purpose of that process is to socialize boys into masculinity through routine casualties and losses on an emotional and educational level in terms of health. But why I think this goes unnoticed is that boys are really good at adapting to their environment, an environment created by adults who normalize gender binaries. I remember staying at my grandparents' house when I was 10 years old, and I would be playing, and I remember my grandfather asking me why I acted girly sometimes. I think he suspected that I was acting too feminine, and he would make sure to scare you into feeling self-conscious. So it seems that from our culture, gender policing is just more of that values and tradition being passed down by our elders, and the society around us enforces us to do that. I remember when I was little that I would notice that body hair would grow on parts of the body, and you know, I would see on commercials on TV that women need to shave, and it was really important for them to do that. And I just felt like, why don't men have to shave those body parts too? It was just really confusing growing up when you have commercials saying one thing and then society saying another and your family says another. Just really gets out of hand sometimes.
Yeah, Cash. There's definitely a lot of mixed messages out there, isn't there? I know one thing for sure, though. I definitely have been guilty of a little gender policing myself, especially when it comes to, like, dating and sex and, you know, all that romance. So basically for me, when I go on a date with a guy, I expect him, you know, to pay for the date. And, if we get around to the end of the, you know, dinner and there's that strange uncomfortable silence or awkwardness when the bill comes around, and there's any like distinction of the guy not wanting to pay the bill, I don't know. It's just over for me. It's just over, and I really feel disappointed, and I feel like that's his role as a guy taking out a woman on a romantic date. So, yeah, I know it's really hypocritical, but I'm not even sure if it's a gender policing or if it's a personal preference of mine, but, you know, what do you guys think?
Well, honestly, Megumi, I think it's a personal preference because I like to split the bill straight down the middle or even just paying my own part, especially in a first date, because I don't want them to expect anything.
Yeah, I'm like reluctant to having someone else pay for me when I first go out on a date. I feel like I want to hold on to some of that power that comes with paying for yourself and being independent and, you know, showing that person that, you know, that you value yourself and you can take care of yourself and that you're not looking for someone to pay for you and put you into those gender roles so quickly, you know, until something gets established later on. So I want to say thank you all for tuning in and listening to our podcast. We had a lot of fun putting this together and making it for you. I hope it at least brings awareness to some of the issues that we've talked about over the semester. And I hope we covered some things that from our reflection you can identify with or not, but you know, that's our story. And yeah, thanks.
Thank you for coming. We hope you liked it.
I hope you enjoyed it and learned how not to gender police people.
We wanted to leave you with one question. What else needs to change in our culture to enable boys and men to see women as their equals, and for women to see men as their allies?
Stop crying.
Stop with the tears.
Don't cry.
Pick yourself up.
Stop with the emotions.
Don't be a pussy.
No, nobody disrespect you.
Be cool and be kind of a dick.
Always keep your mind.
Nobody likes a tattletale.
Bros come before hoes.
Don't let your woman run your life.
You a bitch.
What a fag.
Get laid. Do something.
Be a man.
Be a man.
Grow some balls.